I had a man years ago. I kept being like, hey, I don't want to do that thing you keep trying to do to me.
Yeah.
And he took a step back and literally whispered to himself, Me Too movement. The only reason you will not do the thing that I'm asking you again and again not to do to me is because...
You can get in big trouble, not because you're going
to
hurt somebody.
It's very popular to not do that right now. Yeah.
Is it even yet?
But like, it's very popular to know if somebody has done that, right. You know?
On the trend matrix, not raping people is on the rise, but I don't know, popular yet? It's going this direction.
Valid.
This and baggy jeans.
But first, a word from our sponsors.
Welcome to the Man Whore Podcast.
Shout out to the partners who peg and spouses who spit roast. This is Billy Procida, and you are listening to the Man Whore Podcast. I'm not eating. Don't yell at me. Don't at me. I would never do such a thing when my guest this week is the wonderful, the fabulous, maybe Burke. And I'm very excited to share my conversation with them in just a little bit. You know, but first, I probably should tell you, like, why was I recording my car and eating McDonald's while recording last week? As many of my stories begin, I answered a very salacious ad on Reddit. This couple was allegedly posting, looking for a dude to come and, like, cuckold the boyfriend. They were in Westchester, that's driving distance for me. I had the afternoon available, so I was like, I could do a cuckold. I don't have that comedy show till 9 o'clock. But the scene was they want the guy to come on up to this like mini mall and go meet the boyfriend outside of a ShopRite and say some real nasty, dirty shit to him. Entire drive up, by the way, I'm like practicing my lines for it. I'm just like, okay, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? I'm practicing stuff in my head like, oh, are you Bunny's boyfriend? Look as pathetic as they said. Ha ha! Slam. Or just, you know, like, be like, oh man, you look like a fucking loser, dude. Of course she's running around cheating on you. Yeah. I hear she fucks like everybody in town. How bad are you in bed that she needs to go do that? Oh, it feels so mean to do. I'm like, I'm not good at this, but I'll do it. But it feels odd. I don't even know, like, if I was going to be able to maintain eye contact with this man, but... Fuck was I going to give it my all? So, you know, I roll up there. I get in the car. I'm updating on my travels. Like, hey, says I'm 45 minutes away. Hey, getting on the 684 right now. And each time I'm getting like, okay, cool, thanks, right? And then I give a, you know, hey, 10 minutes away. And then when I get to the place, I'm just like, hey, pulling into the parking lot now. Instructions? Because I have yet to receive, like, who am I? I'm not just going to go up to a stranger and be like, which one of you seems a little kinky? Who's it going to be? Which one of you secretly wants to watch dudes bang your girlfriend? And then just go on the whim? No, thank you. Not trying to get punched in the face today, Satan. Because, again, the scene was you going up and you're going to say some, like, mean shit to him and then just, like, walk off. And then I'm supposed to go drive to, like, this address that she gave me and, you know... Maybe like 15, 20 minutes later, he's going to walk in on us having sex. And then I'll be mean to him, you know, while he goes sits in the corner and whatever. Just seemed like a fun way to spend a Tuesday evening. Don't know how y'all do that, but I just figure like, oh, I could do that at 5:30 and I get some food at 6:37 and I could be back in Manhattan for my show by 9. This works. Well, I get up there and I'm not hearing anything. Like 5-ish minutes goes by and until I'm just like, you know, hello. And I was like, no way. So I checked from an alternative account, an alt, as the children say. I checked at, you know, from an alt. I was like, well, let's go to her page. So I go to her profile on the alt account, totally there. The post is even still up. And I was like, motherfucker, like, isn't that a cruel, sick fucking joke? And being the kind of guy that I am, we're working on it. I swear. I'm in 3 therapies, but I was weak on this particular day. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to give her like a piece of my mind, but I'm going to give her a few crumbs. But now stuff like this has happened before. I think I might have told you all a story similar to this where someone got cold feet. I'm thinking like, look, either this is someone fucking with me, right? Or something happened. Or if something didn't happen, they got cold feet. Like, there's sometimes a reasonable explanation for why it's all getting canceled. But the thing I don't have a tolerance for is the not canceling. It's a real disrespect to my time. You know, unless there was like a car accident, you're the one in. You know, you can really shoot off a quick, hey, gotta cancel, sorry. You don't owe me more explanation after that. I might blow up, you know, if I blow up your phone with questions and I want to yell at you for not answering them, I mean, that's on me. But it is on you to cancel. So I just gave a little like, look, you knew I was driving up from Brooklyn. I think it's kind of fucked up to like not cancel. Like, I hope everything's okay, but not chill. And I actually got a response like, several minutes later. And she said, wait, like, did I block you or did I block the other guy? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to block you. And so like we fixed the blocking situation, unblocks me from my normal account, unblocks me, and we start chatting. And apparently there was another guy because they wanted to do multiple of these scenes throughout the day. So he's like, well, so the guy before you didn't read the post fully. That sounds familiar, don't it? This guy didn't read the post, so he like misunderstood what the scene was. So when he got to the ShopRite, he like saw just the guy there and started yelling at him and pushing him because he was like, where's the chick? Like, why are you here alone? Well, that was the plan the whole time, but he was expecting them both to be there. And then he put his hands on him. This poor, poor cuck. He's like kind of out of the mood, doesn't want to play for that night. She's like, I'm real sorry. And we're in a full look. Some of you might be skeptical because you just don't trust the internet, period. But I don't see the motivation for carrying this on unless it's like a mentally unwell individual, which I just don't think so right here. Now, I could have sounded off and cussed her out and said X, Y, and Z bullshit and accused her of being a dude or whatever. What does that get me? Fucking nothing. You know what it does do is on the chance that she's real, guess who's like definitely not invited? Doing it the way I did, I have now left myself an opportunity to be invited to fuck her in front of her boyfriend if they are real and ever have the courage to do it again. I had to drive back down to New York. I bought a mic stand from some guy off Craigslist. There's no hand job involved, so that was kind of lame, but whatever. It's a new time on Craigslist. And then I went and did my show downtown, my 9 o'clock. It was good times. Thanks, by the way, to everyone who came out to the Naked Comedy Show. Chuck, Elizabeth, Mark, anyone else listening who maybe I didn't meet in person. But, like, thanks for coming out. We had a packed show, killer crowd. All the comics did well. Most importantly, nobody bombed. But it was really dope. And I'm excited to say, like, we're going to do more. I've gotten the yayo. I've gotten I think that means cocaine. I've gotten the thumbs up. I've gotten the yes for monthly Naked Comedy at Hacienda. So stay tuned. Most importantly, if you live in the greater New York area and you don't want to miss a Naked show, because this shit sells out fast, apparently, get on my mailing list. Okay, go to manwhorepod.com. Get on the mailing list, and if that sounds complicated, you could just always shoot me an email directly. At manwhorepod@gmail.com. Before I get to my guest this week, maybe Burke, I got an exciting announcement. This is pretty cool. I signed up to do the beta testing for this, and for once I'm actually gonna get to test this feature. So this is sick. I am creating a free trial for my Patreon, okay? If you've ever been curious, you've just been like, I don't even know. Are the benefits any good? These bonus episodes, he talks about them every week, but like, yeah, there's almost 300 of them. How many are even good? Well, now you can find out, and you can find out for free. I am making available 7-day free trials on our Super Slut tier. That's the $5 tier. If you go to patreon.com/manwhorepodcast, at the $5 tier, you'll see start your free trial. Click that and gain instant access to all of my behind the scenes posts. Photos, dirty haikus, a lot of writings and blog posts I've written that I don't put out publicly. Gain access to the patron-only Discord channels in the champagne room. You can even time this out so you can join us for the hot, spicy, hot movie night. Plus, you will gain access to over 200 bonus episodes. And then you can join this week's Fan Whore Appreciation Moment recipient, P. Matter. P. Matter, he was at Hot Movie Night. He was a fucking hoot. It was dope to see you, dude. You were like the only other people who were willing to turn on their camera. Hashtag so brave. Thank you for supporting the pod on Patreon. Start your 7-day free trial at patreon.com/manwhorepodcast. That's Patreon, patreon.com/manwhorepodcast. And now for this week's guest, Maybe Burke. Oh gosh, wow. This was a doozy. This is one of my favorite recordings I've done in quite some time. I drove on out to Philadelphia on Monday and met up with Maybe, who is a creator and an educator. They're non-binary, but also use they, she pronouns. So you're going to hear me kind of interchange those from time to time. Don't want you to be too confused. And Maybe has a book out right now called I Heart Orgasms, A Guide to More. And it's now on sale, which you can get at iloveorgasms.com. Fun fact, if you use promo code MANWHOREPOD, you'll get 20% off. And it will make me look good to the publicist. Like if a lot of y'all buy this book, I think I can convince Lauren to give me even bigger names when they have books out. So I'm just saying, learn some more stuff about orgasms, and it's also like your support in the show. This is new. I'm not used to receiving this from the book people. But anyways, Maybe and I ended up recording almost 2 hours, okay? And then like we just kind of hung out at their place and talked for like a shocking amount of hours more. To the point that like I got there at 3 o'clock, and at some point we had to be like, yo, you hungry? You hungry? Okay, let's order food. So anyways, we recorded so much that this needs to be a two-parter, especially because this first episode you're going to hear is a lot about Maybe and their dating life and their hopes and dreams in dating. And you're going to hear in a lot of the criticisms, basically dating tips. So like, especially the dudes, listen to this, okay? Listen to the horrific shit that's going to get talked about. And then in your head, I want you to turn it into dating advice. Trust me, this is how I learned how to talk to women, how to sleep with women, how to like make women feel good, how to make women want to like hang out with me a second and sometimes even fourth, fifth, sixth time is this stuff. You absorb this, you hear it. Anyways, there's a lot of very valuable dating advice in this episode. Next week, I'm gonna release part 2, which kind of had like really its own identity of an episode about identity. Oh, and like one little like audio tip. As soon as it starts playing after whatever commercial is coming up, you know, don't yank up your volume in the first 12 seconds. If you're like, I can barely hear her. Yeah, don't, because they're not near the microphone, but you can hear kind of what they're saying. And then it's just going to get real loud. So I don't recommend yanking that up. Have some patience, okay? Let's go chat with Maybe Burke.
I'm happy talking about my identity, but not my transition, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, yeah.
Just, I try to really play into the, like...
present, not past.
Yeah. I'm, like, not a before, you know?
How many times do we need to know that Uncle Ben gets shot, right? If you're saying with great power comes great response. How many times does that little Batman boy need to get the parents shot? You know, we know.
Yeah.
We have an idea.
And we have, like, every story of a trans person. And I don't hide the fact that I've transitioned at all, but like I'm not interested in that narrative, you know, like I'm
not always particularly interested in it either, unless it's interesting,
right? And I'm working on projects that like I do talk about it more, but it's not like a story about me transitioning. It's a right. story about me, and I transitioned during the story.
Yeah, you know? The like, transition can be a scene, but it doesn't need to be the whole film every time.
Right,
absolutely. No, I get
who
that.
Who needs another white girl transition story?
Have you feel like you've seen your transition story on screen before?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No. Okay. And that's an interesting thing. And part of the reason I've stopped auditioning, actually, I never saw myself on stage until I put myself on stage. And I, like, wrote a show, actually, about my love and sex life that, like, I think really kickstarted what my career is now. And then I was recently thinking about it and I was like, oh, I've still never seen myself on screen, even though I've been on screen.
Okay.
In a way that I can't get my own solo show on TV and things, that like I'm playing other people's characters and things, and I'm actually not seeing who I am fully or like what I want to be doing and telling fully. I mean, there's plenty of things that I'm like, that's me, that like, you know, like the it me kind of millennial talk.
Right. Yeah. But you, yeah. But like you, I would imagine
transition stories.
But I would imagine you maybe have seen, and tell me if I'm wrong, if you've seen maybe closer examples to yours on a smaller screen.
Oh, funny. I thought you were going to say I relate more to cis women characters than I do to a lot of trans women characters.
Oh.
Because they're usually more fleshed out human beings.
Yeah.
But you mean like a TikTok?
I would imagine like a that, or even like, you know, with a lot, just a lot of indie stuff, like you can see those a wider breadth of ideas that didn't get greenlit by someone with a big check. And so they end up having to like live on a smaller screen, whether it's on YouTube or, you know, so I'm, right. I would, that would just be my guess.
Yeah. It's like, there's part of the reason that I like am a creator and a writer and all of the things is because like, I was really sick of seeing media representation and like seeing conversations and then having to be like, ooh, that, but this, this, and this, and this, you know, and like always having to give like disclaimers of like, this is true for me, except for that and that and this part and that part. And in sex ed in particular, a lot of conversations that we're having are often really heteronormative, right, and really through a cis lens.
Which also like, took so much work to even get them to do that. Right. It was like
bare minimum.
They're barely doing that one.
Right. Right. Like if we could even talk about like P and V kind of shit. And it's just like, yeah, I just am interested in things that are more true to my life, more true to the people I know and I love and I talk to on a daily basis. And those people exist. Those stories exist. Mm. So the fact that I'm not seeing them is frustrating. So I'm interested in more things where I'm in control of the narrative now and not just being hired to do what I'm told.
Sure. And this is not me asking you to tell the story of it, but I'm curious, is your not one to talk about your transition about, is it more trauma-informed or is it more like boredom?
Oh no, boredom.
Boredom. Yeah. Yeah.
Like there's nothing special about my transition at all. There's stuff that's special about my childhood. There's stuff that's special about, like, me coming of age.
Yeah.
And, like, I do, like, every year on the anniversary of me telling my first, or, like, the first time I told somebody that I was trans, I usually make a video about it.
Okay.
But that's more marketing than anything, you know? Yeah. Like, unfortunately, I have to play into it sometimes. And, like, it is interesting and fun to talk about, like, through an educational lens. I always use those stories to like teach something,
right,
and to be like, this person had a negative reaction and it took me a long time to recover from that.
I don't want to tell you this whole story again for the umpteenth time just cuz.
Right.
But you know, it's probably a good time to say I'm here with maybe Burke. TikTok icon.
TikTok icon.
Well, with the multi hyphenates, it's hard to like be like, and this and a this and a this, and they do this and a this, and I'm like, you know what? They're just great. Hi, let's talk.
I've recently just been like artist educator.
Yeah,
that's my buckets at least.
Fantastic. You act. You do a lot of TikToks. You do a lot of education, and you just had a book is out now.
It is out now.
It's out now. You whiffed it, which. Before we started, I was like, what's with the width? Like your Meryl Streep showing up for two scenes. It's called I Heart Orgasms, a Guide to More. And it's with maybe Burke.
Yeah.
What do you got, like a chapter? Is that what's going on?
Well, actually, we started with me having a chapter, actually. Doriana Marshall wrote this book 10 years ago. I should actually know the actual number there. But they wrote the first edition of this book years ago. Mm. I started working with them, I think they wrote it like more like 10 years ago. I started working with them like 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And they hired me to really like update the gender inclusion in their sex ed and how they're having conversations with students and things. And so then they got offered the chance to write a second edition of this book. And they were like, it only makes sense for us to like lean into the gender inclusion stuff that we have been doing in our workshops. And the only way to like do that to the best of their ability was to use my expertise mm-hmm. and to ask me to join them.
Yeah.
And I was writing a chapter, and then we were doing the thing where I like couldn't write the chapter because I kept being like, oh, this is also true for cis people, or like, oh, this topic comes up elsewhere in the book, so I can't write it here. And then I was like, y'all, trans people just have sex like other people do also, and a lot of this advice is just advice for people.
There doesn't need to be a trans chapter.
Right.
It's a whole... Did you... are you familiar with the ethical slut, I would imagine?
Yes.
But have you seen, like, an old copy versus, like, the new... Like, the third edition that came out several years back?
I don't know if I... Which version I'm familiar with.
So, like, the first two were, you know, are pretty similar, but then they... You know, I interviewed the authors years back when they were promoting the new edition, and I was kind of like... You know, they sent me the new one. I was like, so, like, which parts are different? And they were kind of like... It's like all, it's like, you know, it's not like they could say here are the pages where right. It's kind of, they just update it all generally because they, yeah. they're doing a similar update of like, let's make it this more inclusive, include yeah. these other identities we kind of didn't think to include in the 90s. So
right. Yeah. And that's the first edition of this book was called I Love Female Orgasm.
Ah.
And then when we were starting this project, I was like, cool. I want a different title for this book. Mm. And like... It's not really gender inclusive unless we have a different title, you know? Yeah. Like, if we are using the term female, my female orgasm looks nothing like a lot of what we're talking in the book, you yeah. know? Like, there's different things that that could mean. So, yeah, it ended up being... We basically realized we were, like, tokenizing me by just putting me in a chapter and then just decided to, like, have me be a through line through the book.
Mm-hmm.
But it is... Like, largely written by Dorian and Marshall. The first entire book was only written by them.
Yeah.
And though I'm collaborating throughout the book, it is like, maybe says this, you know? And, like, there are, like, my sections of, like, we're talking about something generally, and then I'm like, especially if you're trans and non-binary, this part's really important, yeah. you know?
You're like, throwing in a lot of clauses.
Things. Yeah, it's a lot of, like, Dorian and Marshall doing their sex education and me being like, also, I'm just going to go on a little rant about gender, which sometimes is really fun and sometimes might get annoying.
Where? where did you get your sex education?
Who knows? I'm a very squeamish person, and so I didn't actually get to go to my sex ed day of my health class in high school. I had passed out while my teacher was describing a vasectomy in a class prior. Did you just cringe too?
I mean, it's probably the similar reaction I have when someone says, sounding.
Yeah. Crawl out of my skin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very, very squeamish. And so because I had already passed out in that class once, instead of like sex ed, our health like relationships unit just had STD day.
Sure.
Where they show us images of STDs and STIs.
And the worst ones.
Right. So they sent me to the library and I never actually got sex ed.
Oh, wow.
So
like when and how did you learn? What research did you...
Trial
like,
and error.
Are you mid-20s, right? Something like that?
I'm 30.
You're 30. Yeah. Okay, so you're my... Okay, so yeah.
Like, I graduated... Like, that class I was taking was in, like, 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we did a relationships unit. I understood myself to be gay at the time. I was out as a gay boy, whether or not that's language that I actually believed is up for grabs. But there was the relationship unit. We had to do a timeline of, like, our future... Mm-hmm. That included, like, getting married and having kids and all of those things. Mm-hmm. And I failed that assignment because I didn't use all of the components. And I was like, well, I'm sorry. I legally can't use some of these. I don't see a future in which I can get married and have kids. So that was the most sex ed I got. Then I learned a lot through what I'm calling trial and error.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, and I talk about trauma a lot in the book, and I have a history of abuse and things because for a long time I didn't understand what sex was and like what consent looked like and that I could ask for things. Sex was a thing that happened to me until I really got to understand it better. And I often talk about being trans saved my life. And I think that a lot of trans and non-binary community in particular comes with sex ed. Mm. And I learned a lot about my body and other people's bodies and the way to treat each other through learning from other trans folks.
Yeah. Because you have to.
Right. And it took me probably like 10 years into having sex for me to be able to like articulate what I liked mm-hmm. and what I wanted and like be able to acknowledge that like the goal of sex is not to just be useful to somebody else.
You're right.
'Cause that's what it was for me for a very long time. And it was very much about like status and things that aren't that fun.
Do you remember like one of the first resources you found, probably on the internet or maybe a book, but like one of the first resources you found that actually helped you understand sex and pleasure and hearting orgasms better?
I think it was just through like a series of friends and conversations, like a resource I don't think I actually like had access to, at least. In that I could point to friends of mine and like past partners who showed me that stuff. Mm. Like I talk a lot about my ex who was the first trans guy I had been with. And the first time we had sex, he like took my hand and put it down his pants and was like, "I call that my dick. What do you call yours?" I was like, first of all, that's the hottest moment of my life yeah. for somebody to like take my hand and do that. And then I was like, I had only ever called it Excalibur up to that point. So I was like, that'll.
You don't look like a nerd.
I'm not. There's Excalibur, Francesca, and the left one. But. Thank you. I'm not a big nerd, but I'm a musical theater nerd. And in high school, we were naming things after experiences, and we were doing Camelot at the time.
Okay. Fair enough. Whoever's worthy to pick it up.
So, you know.
It's your own Mjolnir. I think the modern day would be call it Mjolnir, and then the Captain America picks it up. It's like, we knew it the whole time.
See, yeah, I'm not nerdy.
You're not nerdy like that nerdy. Gotcha.
I like nerds. I'm a nerd for nerds, but I'm not nerdy myself.
But yeah, so you're. I was watching some of your dating TikToks on the way over here, and it's so when I for the all these years I've been doing this show, it's very fun when I ask people like relationship status and just you know if it's a person with long hair and makeup on, gosh, normally it's going to be some kind of
oh, wow.
Some combination of noises. Disgruntlement, discontent.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. My least favorite thing about me is that I'm not attracted to women.
It's pretty great if you ever can find it in yourself.
I've always wanted to be a lesbian. Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Yeah, more attainable for me, I might say, but
very probable. I'd have to go far more butch than I'm comfortable with, mm-hmm. and I'm mm-hmm. inside. I don't know. There's something more fabulous inside of me than the plaid, and so I'm just like, no thanks. I'll have the Friday night date go.
Lovely until it wasn't. You might say, it was very much. He learned how to talk to a lady from like girlfriends. And learned all the right things to say and, like, took me a while to process that I was like, oh, you're just saying nice things that don't actually have much behind them.
Right.
I was like, oh, we just, like, talked about, like, the fact that you're in therapy, which I think is a thing men are doing these days to try to woo women.
I mean...
like, talking about being in therapy.
Maybe partially. There's also can be an element of, hey, I just need to let you know. I'm in the thing. Me, I'm in three therapies right now. Just,
more people should be in therapy. I'm not saying therapy is a bad thing.
Right. Well, I think a lot of men are hearing in such... I think once it gets and starts getting into like a stand-up special or it's being made fun of like in like TV and movies, like men just go to therapy. They're like, oh, I think we're all not going to therapy. They have a meeting and they're just like, guys, I think we just got to start doing that. Yeah, no, we're going to have to cave.
We should start
just like therapy. A bunch of like railroad barons being like, we might have to raise the wages. We might have to... I think we have to do this thing.
Yeah.
Like 10 years ago was consent. They were like, I think we got to start asking. I mean, like, let's not make any decisions yet, but I think we should start reviewing the topic.
Right. Yeah. And that's like, I don't know. I felt like a sense of like performance from how he was talking to me and things that I was just like, it's funny because we talked a lot about how men in particular on dating apps with me will tell me things about myself that they are assuming. And, like, see 4 pictures of me and then be like, you're so smart and eloquent and sophisticated. And I'm like, that's a lot of projection, buddy. Like, you're really hoping that's true so that you can get that out of a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. But, like, you're just telling me that you have these hopes and dreams that I'm not going to live up to. Mm-hmm. I think I am smart and sophisticated and all those things. I'm like, I agree with them, but I'm like, if you are saying it before you see proof, I don't want to try to prove it to you, you know?
You don't think there's something in your stuff in your bio that conveys you're not standing in front of like a bookshelf?
Well, honestly, what it's coupled with often is comparing me to other trans girls and like tearing down my sisters.
Okay.
And it's like they're shocked that I can write a full sentence with grammar and think that that makes me smart, and that shows me what they think of trans women.
Right.
It's not actually that I do education. Like, it's not actually that I am like a person who inspires others. It's that they have a very negative view of what trans women can be. Mm-hmm. And I'm a step above that already by having a bio that makes sense to them or whatever. Honestly, my bio's on some of the apps like set really strict boundaries. And some people are like, oh, cool. You can set boundaries, like, you know how to do that, and that makes people think I'm smart and eloquent. There, it makes some people be like, yeah, baby, you're never gonna find what you're looking for, and I'm like, well, it's not you, so obviously it's working. But yeah, I get a sense from a lot of men who tell me things about myself after reading like a paragraph I've written that it's either their hopes and dreams that I am that person, or that me hearing that will make me take my clothes off faster.
Yeah.
Which is really what it usually is.
I think there's a lot of people who think sincerely that, well, people want to be the best because maybe I'm supposed to be the best and I'd be the best guy at the thing. So other people want to be the best. So if I tell them you're best, but instead of saying sincere qualities that make you great independently, or even like you're best in your field. Like, oh man, I watch your TikToks and I've watched some other I actually follow that thing.
Right.
So they think but then you see it as like you're tearing down. And I've heard this from a lot of like women and femmes where it's like, no, but you're tearing down others to make, you don't have to do that part. Right. You can just learn about me and see what you're impressed by me and then say that independent of anyone else.
Right. I'm not in competition with other trans women.
Right.
And that's the thing that, like, if you have a negative thing to say about any trans woman besides, like, Caitlyn Jenner, who I will still defend her identity until the day that I die because that is who I am and she is, unfortunately, my sister.
Of course.
But if you have anything negative to say about just, like, the other trans girls on Bumble or wherever I am, you're just showing your own ass.
Yeah.
And you're telling me that you don't actually have respect for the people that you're attracted to.
Yeah. So the huge empathy gap, even like what type of thing might they say about other trans women on apps? I wouldn't even know what.
Well, some guys will offer me money and then tell me that that's all trans girls want. And I'm like, sure, the ones are talking to you probably, but like that's true of any gender. There are sex workers, you know, there are escorts on apps. Or like, and this was the guy that I was with on Friday, like had this idea of like, he was talking about me being like, the term sophisticated came up and like more like authentic than other trans folks he's seen. And it just felt like a knock at, like, other people's, like, presentations or, like, nothing about my appearance is for other people. Other people enjoy it often, and I appreciate that. But, like, it just felt like a way of being, like, telling me that he thinks other trans girls
are
ugly.
You're one of the good ones.
Yeah.
Is what they're trying to do. When you could just say, you seem really authentic. You seem really this. And this is dating anybody. This is unless it's me, you can totally shit on others to build me up. I will accept that. But generally in dating, you don't have to put others down to build this person up.
Right. And it can be like, I feel a spark with you that I haven't felt with other people. Like there's like the obvious thing of like, I enjoy time with you more than I enjoy it with other people. Right. That's ideally what you're getting at when you're dating somebody.
If you're trying to say like you look a certain way as opposed to, so if they're trying to say like you look more dolled up than maybe the way some other trans people present, you don't have to bring them up. You could just be like, I love the lipstick.
Right.
I like the way you did the eyeshadow. Like you can just do that part.
And that's like, I think it comes into the conversation of like, I don't think that I'm cis assumed. And I use that instead of like talking about like passability and things, because the term passing has a lot to unpack with it. Sure. But I think it is in that conversation of like, they're telling me that I'm more palatable. They're telling me that I'm more respectable than the other trans women. And my whole thing is like, you're trying to get my attention and like to get my interest with that. But if you're telling me you don't respect other trans women, you are losing my interest.
Absolutely. yeah, that's why they're saying like, oh, I could post you on Instagram.
Right.
That's what they're
saying. I wouldn't be afraid to kiss you in public. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but you would be afraid to kiss someone else?
Right. All right. When was the last good date you went on?
1990.
Oh, no. Stop. I'd be like, no.
No, actually, so the last guy I went out before this guy was fantastic.
Okay.
We had amazing chemistry, like really cool cishet guy who found out he's attracted to trans women, has dated multiple, like, checked a lot of my boxes, because I don't like to be like the first trans girl you're like trying to figure things out with.
Okay.
He's a single dad and his son lives in Florida and he's moving back to Florida to go be with him, which makes sense. But he literally texted me this morning. That was a good date.
Singular.
He came over once after and we hung out for a little bit. Yeah. And didn't just come over for a booty call, like just came over to hang out. So I saw him twice. Honestly, I might see him again before he goes to Florida.
Well, like, we gotta squeeze one more in.
I mean, we had a lot of fun.
If there's so few good ones, I mean, please let me squeeze this juice a little bit more before
it goes like, to Florida. Right, like, I want a relationship, but I also want him again. Yeah.
In the meantime.
You know?
On my quest.
Right.
Little pit stop.
Right.
Florida zaddy, and then he can send him off.
Yeah. The thing is, as a trans girl, I have a lot of good dates, or not a lot, but like I have good dates and then never hear from somebody again. Mm. This situation actually is legitimate and he has unless he's lying about the kid, which I hope is not the case. But often that's where I don't like being like the first trans girl you've gone out with, because I've had the experience of you go on one date with me and then you've gotten it out of your system, or you've decided it's not for you, or whatever it might be. Mm. And some of that is me assuming and projecting, and also who knows when somebody ghosts you what the 7 reasons are. But I also know that like my likelihood of a second date is much lower than cis girls, because there is shame attached to dating trans girls, and like there is the experiment phase that people go through and all of the things. And like, I have no interest in conforming. Like, I'm not playing into standards of femininity for you to like have a pretty girlfriend on your arm. So like, if you're expecting that from me based on my profile, you might learn in a first date that I'm not doing that for you. So I don't know. I think I have a number of good first dates that just don't go anywhere.
Yeah. And what do you ultimately want?
I want...
Oh, she's good. I wish, you know, like, I know I'm supposed to do videos and shit, but I don't want to, but, like, I wish y'all could see. She's up. She's, like, sitting high, up on the elbows, and then they, like, went in when I asked, like a sad, like, dropping. Go ahead and tell me.
I want an anniversary.
I want a 2-year anniversary. I've had a couple 1-years.
I've never had a year. My longest relationship was 8 months. Oh. And I'm a good partner. I know it. Like, I know that I am good to a person.
I get that sense off you.
Thank you.
Maybe ask me like
from four pictures of me or
no, like from being here for like 7 minutes, you asked me like five different times if I need a thing. Do you need that? Do you need this? I was like, this person's a very good host.
I'm a very good service. But yeah, like people I've been with, first of all, either people like experiment and don't want to be with me, but I've also helped a lot of people navigate their own identity through dating me. And that's a thing where I've also felt used in that. And sometimes people don't want to be with me. They want to be me. Mm. Not every, like sometimes like I can date other trans folks and like it's been a valid thing that just didn't work out for the best. But outside of that, I've also had like cis men just be like, you let me be myself more than I've ever been able to with another person. Like, just like I do, like the shit people tell me is true. I am smart and I am very authentic and I'm very inviting and opening and comforting to folks, and dating me is great. I think I'd give it 10 out of 10. Like, and a lot of my past partners have like felt really held by our relationships. They just don't work out for
by held, you mean the whole like reasons. Being themselves thing was held?
Yeah, okay, I think like emotionally held, like I'm always going to be there for you. Like if the thing is, I'm pretty monogamous for a queer person. I watched that process in your brain.
I mean, there's a lot of us, I think, giggling right now. We're like, we're with you on that.
I mean, I refer to myself as monogamish because, like, in that 8-month relationship, we basically ended because we weren't really sexually compatible. Mm-hmm. And he was monogamous and wasn't interested in an open relationship. Mm. But I was like, I love you. And if I could just have sex with other people, we'd be fine, you know, where like in certain circumstances, I can see it being helpful or useful.
If it was flipped and he had needed something specific that was elsewhere, could you have been okay with that?
Oh, yes. Okay. We were incompatible for each other.
Oh, okay. I thought it was more like you needed something that he couldn't offer, because that can sometimes be a tough one to
swallow. No, I think we both needed something else from each other. Mm. And that's like, there's a lot of conversation that we don't have around like the difference and distinctions between like romantic and sexual attraction. Yeah. And not that we weren't attracted to each other sexually, but like, things just didn't line up with like how we liked to have sex and all of that stuff. Yeah. And we were both figuring out a lot of stuff. Like, we're human beings. The rest of the world we have to navigate.
When and did that one end?
7 years ago.
Well, because like the whatever TikTok I saw, I was like, I'm putting myself back out there. And then I was like, I didn't know if maybe
that's after the pandemic. I'm putting myself back out there. Yeah. I mean, I didn't go on dates for a while because it was even scarier to approach men. And so it's also interesting because like the ways that dating has shifted, like I did see somebody during the pandemic. We went on a date, and then, like, literally on our second date, I was like, are we exclusive? Because it was, like, before we had vaccines or anything, and yeah. I was just like, I need to know you're not seeing other people because I want to kiss your face, but I need yours to be the only face that I'm kissing, and I need...
Sure.
Dating has been a weird thing through a pandemic. But now, like, vaccines are happening and everything. I feel more comfortable, like, going on dates more regularly.
Okay.
And by that, I mean, like, twice a month, maybe, or however frequently I've been posting those videos, you might be able to tell me more than I can. But yeah, I haven't been in a relationship in 7 years, and it's pretty fundamentally what I want.
Yeah, I feel the origin of the show started because like women would sleep with me, but they wouldn't date me, and I wanted to find out why. So this show started with me interviewing exes about why we didn't work out, because like I want love and cuddles and all that shit. And good sex. And so, and you know, I relay on that because that's nobody wanted to date me, but everybody wanted to spend the time with me and get in bed with me. But then as soon as I was like, hey, do you want to hold hands in public? It was like, slow down, buddy.
Relatable. as a trans girl, yeah. That's relatable. But yeah, that's similar vibes. Like, I've had, like, friends with benefits and things with people that I've been like, I would kill to go to dinner with this person. And, like, never got to that point. Like, never was able to. There's a guy I saw regularly, and we would spend, like, hours chilling and talking after having sex. Yeah. And then I'd be like, imagine this. What if we do the talking beforehand? What if we do the talking at even, like, McDonald's? Like, just, like, what if it's just, like, what if I see you with your clothes on first?
Gasp.
Right. Yeah, I've never seen that man dressed.
Yo, I had one chick who, like, could not, saw each other on and off for a year and a half in my early 20s, would not get dinner with me. Could not. I got her to go to the little bar that, like, no one goes to around the corner from her place. There, I got her to go to, like, two movie theaters. I was always going there, and I couldn't meet anybody. I met, like, her twin sister once or twice because she just, like, was over. But, like, I could. And it's just, like, you don't want to have dinner with me? You don't want, again, you don't want to do this fun banter we do in your bed. You don't want to do this, like, in public.
And that's what I've learned.
That breaks you down after a while.
It's not me. It's not you. It's that that's not what some people want. And that's a thing that took me a while to, like, actually understand. Because I can, like, know it and feeling it is different, you know? Sure. But being able to actually be like, you're not looking for the same thing I am. Mm-hmm. And in the long run, trying to date that girl would not work for you. Because she wouldn't be the girlfriend you want, you know?
Yeah, I tried for a year and a half. You know, so, you know, like, do you have any sort of, like, pre-date screeners you do?
Oh, and a lot 100%.
Of people, this is the age of no one wants to waste their time in dating. Nobody wants to show up to a place for 30 minutes. Everyone's like, no, I don't know. It's just wild to me. People are now doing the video conferencing. They're like, I need a video chat. And I'm like, you need more free time.
Well, I don't have a ton of free time.
Neither
do I. Work a lot. And honestly, a lot of men will, like, ask me out, and I'm like, I know nothing about, this is the fourth message you've sent me.
Right.
And they're like, well, that's, like, what a date is for, to get to know somebody. And the thing that I don't think a lot of men understand, but cis men in particular, is that, like, safety for women is on our minds when we go on dates, and especially for trans women. That, like, I need to figure out how secure you are in the fact that you might be dating a trans girl before I let you see me in public. Mm. Like, I've literally had men have sex with me, climax, regret it, and turn violent. Sure. So I need to have security measures in place. Like, I have to do some level of screening there. And also, if I went out with every man who asked me out, I'd get nothing else done.
Yeah, I don't think it has to be like, what, you know, hey, match, let's go out. But I also, I'm on my defense, say, if it's through, like, an app situation, or even if, like, I got your number at a bar and then we're texting or something. It's just, I want to get this to a meet in a somewhat schedule available near future.
Yeah.
Because I find a lot of people will be like, oh, you'll listen to me. You're being nice to me. And because of what I do for work, that, hey, you know, can I talk about some sexual things with you? And, like, I'm not here to be your chat buddy. It's like, I don't got time or bandwidth for it. So it's like, do you want to meet up for coffee at your place where you feel safe, that's in public, that's 5 minute walk for you? I'll go out of my way there. Right. But I'm like, I do want to, like, make sure we're intending to meet. I can't text for a month and then meet you. And then, like, it, and then if it doesn't work, talk about, like, wasting time. It's like, well, now I've wasted time, energy, the creative juices to, like, keep you textually engaged, because now it's more of a writing skill set that's being used there instead of my work, like, all that.
And balance is important. Yeah. I mean, that guy I went out with on Friday, we only started talking Friday.
Great.
I kind of regret it, but, you know, like, it was a fun date, whatever.
Do you give yourself, like, an exit plan on first dates? Like I'll give myself, I will always spend an hour and 5 minutes here. I'm not going to stay for 3 hours when I know after 40 minutes, this is a no-go. What's your exit strategy?
If I'm being honest.
Please.
If I don't like the person, sometimes I'll stick it out just to have sex with them and then never see them again.
Did you just phrase it as stick it out?
Yeah.
Okay. I've never heard that phrase before.
Is that not a phrase? Maybe I'm making up a phrase.
Oh, I mean, it's very visual. Like, I have an idea.
No,
oh,
not stick with this.
I thought it was more of a like, I'm going to just, I mean, not at the bar, but like metaphorically it out. Hey, I can't stand you, but like, you want to fuck?
Stay with.
You're going to stay with. Okay.
No, not like stick my neck out. No, that was not. Be like, hey, no, I will like. Be like, this person's not that interesting, but like, I'm on this date because I'm attracted to them. Like, might as well have sex tonight.
Okay.
Sometimes, if I'm like, I mean, I had an experience recently where a guy came over and I was like, I don't want to have sex, but like, you can come in, whatever. And then he was like taking off my pants and I was like, I don't want to have sex. And right. He was like, yeah, okay. And then kept going. And I was like, I'm going to ask you to leave. That's also a scary thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Because when you do the thing you're supposed to do, which is I set a boundary, I'm now enacting it by being like, now you have to leave.
Right.
I mean, but you don't have a ton of recourse if that didn't work.
And I live alone now. There's nobody here to help you leave.
Want to cut that?
We could. But that's like a situation I've had in the past, actually, had to text roommates and been like, there's a man who won't leave. And they knock on the door like, hey, do you want to go on a walk? Let's go.
Yeah.
I had a man years ago when I was living in Brooklyn, a man I kept being like, hey, I don't want to do that thing you keep trying to do to me.
Yeah.
And he took a step back and literally whispered to himself, Me Too movement. And I was like, I'm sorry. Did you just have to remind yourself of the recourse if you rape me right now? And I literally did not know what to do. And I texted my roommate and I was like, help.
Just.
And luckily I was living with a man at the time who could like do the thing.
Oh my gosh. That's so weird. Because like that's someone who's. It's weird that he thinks he has to out loud remind himself to, like, that's the training he's done. He's like, all right, I'm not going to get myself in trouble.
The so only I'm reason you will not do the thing that I'm asking you again and again not to do to me is because...
You can get in big trouble, not because you're going
to
hurt somebody.
It's very popular to not do that right now. Yeah.
Is it even yet?
But, like, it's very popular to know if somebody has done that, right. You know?
On the trend matrix, not raping people, is on the rise. But I don't know, popular yet? But it's going this direction.
Valid.
This and baggy jeans.
But this was in the year that the Me Too movement was really popular, and people were talking about it
a lot. His inside thought went outside.
And I was like, oh my God, sir. First of all, that tells me so much about you outside of this moment that, like, you have to whisper things to yourself out loud to remind yourself them.
And I think, and to speak to the guys, like, there's a lot of guys, and because I've experienced elements of, because that whole nice guy syndrome, there's the element of, like, let me do the funnier example. My dad is a narcissist, like, every textbook thing of it. So, no, my dad... We were in Italy like last year, and he said something. I was talking about Lawrence v. Texas, and he was like, maybe sex should just be for procreation. Now, I know he doesn't believe that because he's a ton. And so whatever, we go past. Thing wasn't a fight. But then, like, many days later, it came up, and I said, well, you said this. And he's like, I didn't say that. That's a fucking stupid thing to say. Because in his brain, it's, I am brilliant. That is stupid to say. Therefore, I couldn't have said it.
It didn't happen.
Yeah, not, oh, I might have slipped up. It's just, it can't happen because I'm this. So there's a lot of guys who I think, and I can relate to having this cycle of thought, is I'm a nice guy and nice guys don't do this. She's saying I did this, but since I'm a nice guy, I couldn't have done it. It had to have been something else. Right. Instead of having the humility to like self-examine what could be a pattern for you or could be a isolated misstep. And so they go like, well, I'm not assaulting you. Like, didn't they say something where like, don't say if someone's like raping you, don't say no, don't say how, like say, like look them in the eye and be like, you're raping me right now because like you might actually get through because they don't think what they're doing is that thing because they're a nice guy. So they couldn't be doing that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's a, something that there's a, some disconnect.
And that's, we're ingrained in the society that like like, we have to, like, say no, and, like, we actually want it, like, your eyes are saying yes, that whole thing that, like, people really believe, and I'm, like, still coming up against that, that I literally was saying to this man, like, I don't want to be having sex, and he was right. undoing my belt, and I was like, do you hear words? Maybe I should have been like, this is assault.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's funny that the phrasing that you're using, like, I'm a nice guy, because that's actually a red flag.
Right.
That phrase immediately blocked.
Yeah.
Or not blocked, but
everyone,
like,
everyone should think I am both a nice guy and bad guy simultaneously, because I'm an imperfect human, because that's what we all are.
You're a guy.
Except I, no. I was going to say, except my mother, Bobby Priscilla, she's a saint. She has done no wrong. But, you know, everyone's good and bad.
Yeah. Right?
And it's like...
And that's a thing that I don't actually consider myself a good person. Because I think that, like, putting a qualifier like that on it is not actually doing me anything.
Mm.
And I don't think I'm a good person. I think that I care about other people. I think that I can try to do the best things in a lot of situations. But I don't like to, like, think of myself as a good person, because then I fall into that cycle
mm-hmm.
of, like, oh, but I'm a good person, so I'm not going to be able to do that. Like, I'm a good person, so I would never be racist. I'm a good person, you know?
Yeah. It's an easy way, like, let yourself off a hook.
Yeah.
And you're a person.
I'm a person.
At the end of the day.
I also talk about the fact that I think I'm a perfect person, but that's... But I think I'm the perfect version of the person I want to be, mm-hmm. and I think I'm the perfect me.
And I think there's also, so when, and I brought that up, the whole concept of, like, so guy, you say no, and he's not registering it as assault because maybe he thinks he's a nice guy, but everyone, like, it's almost as if, like, everyone else is assaulting people, but not me. And so I think there's a lot of dudes don't realize till they hear it in vast numbers. Like, I didn't realize unsolicited dick pics were, like, as rampant until, like, I saw Creepy PM subreddit in, like, 2012, and it's just screenshots, and it's just the volume is so mm-hmm. crazy. And, like, because when you say, like, you turn a dude down and he says, I hope you fucking die, that sounds extreme, and it sounds so extreme you think it can't possibly be a norm until you see
mm-hmm.
the volume. And since, like, my DMs don't look like your DMs, I think that must be an exception as opposed to something that does happen a lot. And so, like, you know, and that exposing yourself to more than just your buddy, your other dude buddies at the fantasy football draft gives you the benefit of perspective, which you shouldn't want to do it only for this purpose. But, like, I don't know, for, like, dudes who date, like, women, you should have women friends so you can hear what they're struggling with.
Right.
So you don't do that. And then, yes, maybe you have a better chance of getting laid. But that shouldn't be why you're doing it. But, like, that can be an outcome.
I mean,
I hear you like that outcome. So, like, maybe Andrew Tate's not the guy.
Right. And that's what I think my date on Friday did. He, like, learned from girls that he's hung out with and things, and heard the horror stories and things. And I'm like, but it still didn't quite set in mm-hmm. because you're not actually, like, following through. You're just, like, telling me the things you know I want to hear now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there has to be some, like, actual, and I think a lot of it is just, like, experience. Like, there's, like, jokes that go around on the internet all the time that, like, straight men don't understand consent until a gay man hits on them. You know?
Yeah.
Like, and then it's very clear. Men will message me all of the time and then be like, why are you here if you're not going to talk to people or you're not, like, going to go out with me? And I'm like, sir, are you attracted to every person who messages you on here? And they're like, no. And I'm like, so then do you understand that every person you message is not going to be attracted to you? It's a relatively simple concept.
Yeah.
If you think about it. And if you think about it in your terms, it makes sense. You're not attracted to every girl you see. You're not attracted to, like, every person on this app.
Yeah.
But you don't think about it in your terms. You're like, I see thing I want. I want. I need. I get. And it's like, you don't get. You don't get.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And what I've learned is, like, setting boundaries around what I let people do on a first date or whatever is, like, having you to my house and saying I don't want to have sex with you still makes you think I want to have sex with you. I can't even have you over. Like, mm-hmm. I can't even.
You're,
like,
not safe
I can't
to be in this
restaurant.
Address anymore. Yeah.
Like, I the fact that you got to my house makes you feel like I want to have sex with you regardless of what I say. Mm-hmm. And I think that is too common a framework and a mentality, and it's scary.
I'm in the door. I won. I get sex now.
Right. Which, like, the song Baby It's Cold Outside is in my head as we're having this conversation, because, like, that is, like, the framework of that song, like, in the time that it was, like, first written and recorded, was, like, she had to pretend she wanted to leave, and it was, like, a game that she was playing and actually wanted to stay.
Yeah.
But we still play by those rules in a world where I could just stay if I want to.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't have to play the game anymore, but we still play by the rules of, like, oh, a girl's gonna say no, but she actually wants it.
Yeah. You know, we tell people, like, advocate for yourself, set boundaries, and, like, so there's a centering of yourself in terms of safety and, yeah, and not doing things you don't want to do. But in dating at large, I think decentering yourself needs to be an element for anyone. I remember I went on a first date with someone, like, 8 years ago, and we go on a walk. She's poly. We're talking. We're clicking. Chemistry seems really, like, really dope. It's a daytime date. Nothing sexual is going to happen. But, like, there's a confirmation we're going to go on a second date. And then I'm like, cool. A day or two later, I get a text being like, hey, I'm realizing, like, I don't even have time to date right now. Like, I just don't have it in my schedule, bandwidth, whatever. Like, you seem great, but just, like, there's not going to be another date. And I'm like, okay. Because she said, like, well, I don't have time, and that makes sense. Okay. But then, like, a couple days later, this is back when Tinder, like, still showed you last login. So I go on a couple days later, I see, like, she was just on that day, and then the day after she was on again. So then I, centering myself, experienced it as I have been lied to, I have been slighted, I have been denied this second date that I was hoping for. So I kind of started, I mean, I didn't, like, go all caps off on her, but, like, I sent her a text being like, hey, you didn't have to lie to me. Like, you could just say you're not interested, blah, 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 you know, and all that. She's like, I don't have time. This message is creepy. Some dude I went to camp with in high school matched with me and said, hey, and I was logging on here to grab, because we're going to grab coffee to catch up because it's someone I know in real life. But, like, also don't fucking contact me again. And then I, like, got hit with a wave of, like, oh, yeah, sometimes there's shit that has nothing to do with me going on. And it's also not my fucking business.
Also.
But, like, remember, like, that's the difference between, like, I am the center of this entire experience, or right, I am one of many, like, floating, rotating things. No one's in the center of experience.
Yeah. The guy I was talking to stopped talking to me, and I was like, oh, I'm aware enough to know that he's probably going to move back to Florida to be with his son. You know?
That's not a slight against you.
Right. It's currently a slight against his son, who doesn't have his dad in the same state, you know? Mm. Yeah. And that situation is very funny, because recently a guy was talking to me, and, like, literally messaged me and was like, oh my gosh, I saw you on the train all the time, and, like, I saw you at this intersection last night, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, horrifying. And I was like, that's really creepy, sir.
Is someone, like, on an app thing?
Yeah.
I think the intersection might be a little far. I think I've seen you on, I've noticed you on the train. I saw your
face. Like, I think I've seen, like, you around, sure.
Sure. But, like, I saw you at the corner of, like, 9th and 2nd Ave. I was like, that's a little much.
I was like, that's creepy.
Yeah.
And his response was, I was just asking, like, an honest question. And I was like, what question? You didn't ask me. You told me you knew my whereabouts last night.
All you said was, I've seen you.
And that's actually a pretty regular occurrence for people who have seen me around Philly. It's also very funny. I don't know if I have a doppelganger in Philly, but I get confused. Like, people swear they know me and, like, have seen me. And, like, it's always men on Grindr who think they have literally hooked up with me before. And it must be some other girl. Mm. Or it's them generalizing and confusing me for, like, any other brunette trans girl. But, like, it happens so often that I'm like, if you're out there, I want to find you. But yeah, like, pretty regularly people will, like, tell me they know where I am.
Mm.
Or, like, where I live. My mailman messages me on Grindr. And I'm like, you carry my I'm going to report you next time. Like, that's, like, scary,
yeah,
for me. I'm like, you can access a lot of information out of my mail. It's a federal crime, right, if you do. But, like, you have a lot of ways to hurt me.
And there are people who do use this stuff menacingly. That is real. But I think the majority of stuff like this is just not thinking about how another person might receive the thing. You know, how many times have we had people complain about someone's ghosting and they're not even thinking about what might be going on in their life?
Right.
You know?
And that's, if anything, I give too many accommodations in those situations. But probably I am always like, that's what makes me a good partner. That's what makes it good to date me. I'm thinking about you a lot.
But you need someone who's going to think about you as much too.
Right. Not somebody who's going to text me, oh, I like your yellow hat while I'm out somewhere and be like, you don't even have a picture up on your profile. That's horrifying.
Yeah.
And I've been followed home by that person, you know, like that's like scary. And a lot of people don't see through their privilege of not having that experience and like not having to worry about their safety in public all of the time and in dating.
How do you feel about being single and wanting something and the most you get is something short of it?
I don't like it. I mean, the thing is, I'm not going to settle for something I don't want.
Good.
I'm not going to settle for the thing that's not right for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard knowing that I want this thing that is like fundamentally good for me. And it's something I've wanted since I was a kid, you know? I always think about myself in context of, my brother just got married in June, and he was supposed to get married in 2020, and we joked a lot that I had 2 extra years to find a date to the freaking wedding. But I didn't want to just bring, like, any date to my brother's wedding. I wanted to bring a boyfriend to my brother's wedding.
Yeah.
Swung out, you know, like, I seventh wheel my own family. Both of my brothers have partners. Like, we go places and it's my mom and my dad, my brother and his husband, my other brother and his boyfriend, and me.
I don't even see an annoying little dog that you can pretend is your date.
Oh, no. No. I fostered a cat for a little bit. I am not a mother. But I could be a girlfriend. Yeah. And
maybe a stepmom.
Yeah. It's, well, we got close with that last one. He was in Florida, but that's actually a thing. So, like, as I was turning 30, I considered what of my, like, standards and my boundaries I'm willing to cave on. Because there's certain things that are immediate red flags for me, and fathers are part of that, and I eased up on that.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, maybe I'm ready for my stepmom era, or at least ready to, like, not be turning down single dads.
Mm-hmm.
It was that, or, like, people who've been trained to kill, you know? If you have a gun in your profile, I'm out, you know? Like, again, safety. A
lot more of that here in Pennsylvania than in New York, for sure.
You're not kidding. Yeah. I thought girls were joking about the amount of, like, fish pictures on Tinder. I moved to Philly, and I was like, oh, my God, I see it. I'm so sorry. I doubted you all. New York is a little haven. They're fishing out here.
Yeah, in New York, it's just a lot of dudes, like, holding up their Bernie sign from 16.
Yeah, it's just, like, holding up their, like, finance bro degree. And then here, it's like, oh, guns and fish and guns.
And guns and fish and fish and guns.
Mm-hmm.
And guns and fish
and
fish
I'm like, and okay, guns. I can date a single dad if it means I'm not dating an AK-47,
yeah.
Sure.
But maybe this was a blast. You know, where can people go to find you, follow you? I know we got the book out. I heard you might have a code of some sort.
Yes, if you use the code ManwhorePod.
Oh, wow. I had no idea we were getting the publicity tracking was starting to get this special.
Oh, yes. Just for your listeners, you can use the code ManwhorePod.
Y'all, please make me look good. Go pick up I Heart Orgasms, the new edition.
If you want to learn about pleasure, if you want to learn about having sex with folks in more gender-free and expansive ways, you can go ahead and use the code ManwhorePod to get 20% off. You can go to iloveorgasms.com to find that book. More about me, you can go to maybeburke.com. You can follow me on social media anywhere at believeinmaybe. Or you can go to that intersection in Philly and apparently find me like that man on Grindr.
Yeah, no, they'll be the one in the yellow hat. Apparently. And anyone who listened to last week's episode, if you're in the movie theater, I'm the guy in the back with the white hat. Don't look at me until I put my hand on your thigh. You know the scene. Maybe this was, yeah, don't worry.
I need to listen to that episode.
Maybe you were blessed. You know, thank you so much. And thank why don't you go ahead and say goodbye to everybody.
Goodbye, folks.
That's just part one, everybody. That's just a taste of like the fire Monday that I had with them. It was just like really great day. You ever just like make a new friend? Making a new friend is the tits, especially sometimes when they've got tits. Anyways, folks, remember, link in the show notes for all the things, my socials, maybe socials, a link to their book, I Heart Orgasms. I'll remind you that the code is manwhorepod for 20% off. You'll see my email down there, manwhorepod@gmail.com. If you want to send me any comments, questions, titty pictures, criticisms. Interestingly enough, I've really only gotten one death threat this whole show. And it's been a real long time. We're having a great streak. Here's a first date tip. Ask questions. But then, listen to notice if an hour in, they've asked you any questions back. I know you're eager to talk all about yourself and kind of like prove your worth and how awesome you are, but you know what's even more attractive to women is being asked about themselves. You know why? Because so many don't. Use where other dudes are massively failing to showcase why you're dope. And don't forget to start your 7-day free trial of the Man Whore Podcast Patreon. All access to everything in my super slut tier, my private writings, photos, behind the scenes content, over 200 bonus episodes, and access to patron only channels in the champagne room. Start your free trial today or just straight up become a member at patreon.com/manwhorepodcast. That's Patreon, patreon.com/manwhorepodcast. Or download the Patreon app and find me on there. Tune in next week for part two, everybody. And stay slutty.